All right, I've got a question for you guys today. And my question is, would you rather have a high school diploma or a YouTube channel with 300,000 subscribers? Would you rather have a high school diploma, a piece of paper saying that you graduated from high school? Would you rather have that or a YouTube channel with 300,000 subscribers? Well, I'm going to let you think about that for a few seconds because I just want to welcome you to part two in my School Sucks series. So welcome here. Thank you guys so much for joining me. I really appreciate you. I'm so lucky to have so many of the best subscribers in the world. You are the best subscriber I have, so thank you very much. Okay, so the reason I asked you that question is because it took me the same amount of time to get 300,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel as it did to graduate from high school. Okay, so my high school diploma, right? 3 years, grade 10, 11, and 12, and it took me 2.5 years to get 300,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel. So it just makes me wonder, imagine what it would be like if high school students graduated from high school with a YouTube channel or with a business or with some knowledge of how to do something in real life instead of a bunch of useless knowledge that doesn't really help them in real life. So in this lesson, I want to paint for you my vision, what I think school should look like. Like kindergarten to grade 12, the standard school that everybody has to go through. What should it look like? Now you'll remember in my first video in this series, I defined education as something that is supposed to help you, right? That's what education is. Education is supposed to help you in some way in your life, right? And not just you, help other people around you, right? Your neighbors, your society, your city, your country, the whole world. Great. If education can help you and help the world in some way, make it better, that's a good education. So that's how I would define education, if it helps you some way in real life. So if I started a school, my mission statement would be help you help others. Help you help others. It's simple. So everything would be built around that. And help in real life, not help you get into college or help you. I'm talking like real benefit, some real life stuff. Right? Now, remember in my last video, I talked about three things that school doesn't really teach you that I think are probably the most important things a person could learn. Do you remember what those three things are? Well, I'm gonna tell you. I'll refresh your memory. Okay, money, relationships, health. Money, health, relationships. Those three things in no particular order. They're all very important, right? And high school students graduate when they're 18 years old and they don't know anything about money. They don't know how to pay their taxes. They don't know anything about how to take care of their body or anything. So that's a tragedy if people graduate from high school and they don't learn those three things. Now, after that video, some people commented on it and said, "Mark, school isn't the place to learn those things. You're not supposed to learn those things in school." If that's the case, if you're not going to learn anything about those three things in your, normal school experience, then school should end a lot earlier in life so that you can experience real life, right? If real learning comes from real living, then students should have a chance to live real life, earlier. Either school has got to end earlier to give people the experience in real life, or we bring real life into the school experience. And that's what I'm proposing today. I'm proposing that we should bring real life into our experience, so that it's not just so that school isn't just sort of a I don't know, how would you describe school? I would sort of describe it as a just sort of a sea of scholastic drudgery. I don't know if that makes sense. I just made it up. A sea of scholastic drudgery. Do you know what scholastic means? Scholastic means relating to school and education, okay? And the word drudgery means something that's just really boring and hard. Drudgery, almost like you're a slave, you know? Students are almost like slaves. They have to go to school, they have to sit in their chair, they have to learn something they're not really interested in learning, and, you know, hope that their life is going to turn out somehow, right? I talked about in that first video, I talked about all the useless stuff that kids learn, like trigonometry, Shakespeare, calculus, all these things that, I mean, they have some value. If you want to become an engineer, great, you're going to learn those things, right? But normal students it just has zero benefit to their lives, right? For me, I had to study trigonometry, Shakespeare, all of that stuff. It has zero practical benefits to my life. So all that time spent in high school, I could have been learning something a lot more practical. Okay, so in this video, I want to sort of paint for you what I think the school process should look like. Now, elementary school can stay the same. I think elementary school is great. You go to school, you learn fun stuff. You learn how to read, how to write, how to do simple math. You learn about the world, you learn about countries and cultures, languages, flags of the world, right? You learn about your own country, the provinces or states or cities. You learn all that fun stuff, and that is great. But then, when you hit junior high, you know, I would say junior high is when people's love for learning just really, really tanks. Tanks means goes down. I would say junior high is when their passion in life sort of gets zapped, you know. Now, junior high is usually considered grade, in Canada anyway, it's usually considered grade 7, 8, and 9. Okay, that's junior high school. And then high school is grade 10, 11, and 12. Okay, so 6 years, you know, your love for learning just goes down, 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 down. At least that's what happened to me. Let me know. I mean, maybe you just loved school. Maybe you hated elementary school. Maybe you hated learning how to read, but you loved trigonometry. If that's you, I don't know. Let me know down there in the comments. But I don't think a lot of people are in that boat. Hey, I want to ask you a question, okay? In 6 years of education, from grade 7 to grade 12, that's 6 years, right? 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 6 years, okay? In 6 years of education, how many hours do you think a student is doing school stuff? Like how many hours does that take for 6 years? Do you know? Well, I'm going to tell you. It takes about 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours of school, you know? Sitting in class, doing homework, all of that. At least, probably more than that, I think. But at least 10,000 hours from grade 7 to grade 12. That's a long time. That's a lot of hours. You know what they say about 10,000 hours? They say it takes 10,000 hours to become an expert at something. An expert. Okay, so if you start learning how to play chess today, in 10,000 hours, you're going to be an expert at it. If you spend 10,000 hours learning about chess, you're going to be an expert. Okay, and I mean, that's a long time. That's probably 5 or 10 years. You know, if you learn chess 4 or 5 hours a day, it's probably going to take you, you know, I don't know, maybe 10 years to become an expert, right? And that's what they say, 10,000 hours. I think that's true. You know, if you would spend 10,000 hours doing something like cooking, or playing a sport, you'd be really good at it. You know, I wonder how many hours Roger Federer has spent playing tennis. What do you think? How many hours? Boy, probably a lot more than 10,000 hours, because he's, you know, he's the best at his game, right? So 10,000 hours and a student. So when you went to school from grade 6 to or grade 7 to grade 12, what did you become an expert in? You became an expert at sitting in a chair. So your high school diploma should really say, you are an expert at sitting in a chair. You're an expert at sitting your butt down in a chair and listening to a teacher and learning useless stuff that doesn't help you in real life. That's what your high school diploma should say. So instead of that 10,000 hours learning something useless, I think that people could graduate from high school knowing they could graduate, you know, ready to take on much bigger responsibilities than they do in today's education system. You know, sometimes you hear grumpy old people say, kids these days don't know anything about responsibility. Well, this is because kids never were given responsibility. How are they supposed to learn responsibility if they were never given some responsibility? So in my model of school, the idea of responsibility and giving back to society would be a core component of the education process. Okay? Nobody can process 18 years, right? I mean, how old were you when you graduated from high school? I was 18 years old, okay? And I think most of my classmates were 18 years old. People can't process all those years of input without, you know, without somehow working it out in real life, right? You just sort of get mentally fat, mentally bloated. It's like eating pie or cake for 10 years of your life without exercising. You would get fat, right? Well, it's the same way with learning. We need to learn, and we need to connect what we learn to real life in order to process it. Right? If we have nowhere to process it, it just sort of disappears. Like, let me ask you a question. Do you remember anything about grade 12 math? If you took a grade 12 math test today, would you even get 5%? I'm telling you honestly, if I tried to take one of those tests in my math class that I took in high school, I would probably get 0%. Actually, zero. I don't remember anything. Zip. Zilch. Nada. Zero. I don't remember anything. Okay, now let me tell you about my plan. What would my plan look like? Okay, well, after kids finish elementary school, they would go into a completely different kind of thing. It would be nothing like normal school as it is today, okay? Because from grade 7 to 11, I'll tell you more about what I have for grade 12 in a little bit, but from grade 7 to grade 11, you would have no teachers and no tests. No teachers and no tests. Wow, that's radical, isn't it? You might be thinking, what? That's crazy, Mark. That's outrageous. Well, let me tell you a secret about life, okay? Now, this secret might help you in your life. Okay, and the secret is that ultimately, you will be judged by what you can do, not by what you're qualified to do. Okay, let me say that again. Ultimately, you will be judged by what you can do, not by what your qualifications are. Okay, let me ask you. Take a guy like Messi. Messi, one of the most famous soccer players in the world. What are his qualifications? What do you think his qualifications are? Does he have a degree in soccer from Harvard University? I don't know, he might. I don't think so. I doubt it. Okay, but Barcelona hired him. Well, why did Barcelona hire him? I mean, what do you think that interview looked like? What was the interview like? You know, where did you go to school? Who taught you how to play soccer? Imagine if someone asked Messi, who taught you how to play? Do you think that's a reasonable question? He probably just taught himself. He was probably a kid. He saw Maradona on TV and thought, oh, my mic just fell off my stand. Can you still hear me? That's crazy. Let me just give me a second. I'm having some technical difficulties. Okay, stay still, Mike. Don't move. Okay, sorry for the technical difficulties. So Messi was probably a kid, and he saw some famous people on TV. He probably said, I want to be like them, right? Messi didn't go to school to study how to become the world's best soccer player. He just did it, right? So the idea of qualifications are just sort of a bit absurd. Nobody would ask Messi, what are your qualifications? You know, or take a guy like Elon Musk, right? Elon Musk just announced the new Tesla Cybertruck. Crazy looking, futuristic vehicle. I kind of like it. Do you like it? Maybe when I get rich in the future, I can buy myself a Cybertruck. But imagine a guy like Elon Musk. You know, did he go to school to study how to design a truck like that? I mean, nobody taught him. He probably just learned it on his own. Or a guy like Bill Gates, you know, who gave him qualifications to start Microsoft, you know, or Mark Zuckerberg, all these guys, you know, who gave them their qualification? You know, what are their qualifications? Do you even know what Elon Musk studied? Do you know what Bill Gates studied? Do you know what Mark Zuckerberg studied? They might have, who knows, did they even go to college? I have no idea. I think some of them dropped out of college, probably for the better, you know, because then they could start their companies and it changed our lives. Imagine what our lives would be like without Microsoft, without computers. Our lives would be, I don't know, it would be crazy to imagine what our lives would be like without technology like iPhones, computers. That would be crazy. Now, I want to tell you a secret about me, okay? Now, I don't want you to tell anybody this secret. Maybe I shouldn't tell you. What's that? Oh, you want me to tell you my secret? Okay, well, I'll tell you. I decided to tell you my secret. So my secret is that I'm not a teacher. I'm not a qualified teacher. I have no qualifications to be a teacher. Isn't that crazy? I have no qualifications. I'm not a teacher. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you thought I was a teacher this whole time, but I'm not. And I have 300,000 students who have decided to learn from me, and none of them have ever asked me what my qualifications are. You know, nobody ever comments on my channel and says, Mark, what are your qualifications? Tell us, before we subscribe to your channel, what are your qualifications? I don't think I've ever had that question. And, you know, 300,000 people have come to me to learn something, and I'm not even a teacher, right? Now that's a very humbling fact that I'm not a qualified teacher, and yet people, you know, people choose my channel for some form of learning, and I'm very thankful for that. Thank you guys so much. But that just goes to show that people will judge you based on what you can do, not what your qualifications are. You know, at the end of the day, people don't really care. Your qualifications don't really matter that much, right? My life is proof of that. You know, what degrees do I have? What did I even pass high school? You don't even know if I passed high school. I did. You know, I cheated on a couple of exams, like I've talked about in another lesson here at Mad English TV. I think I told you guys that. I cheated on 2 math tests, I think. Not I think, I know. But then I went to college. I didn't cheat all of college, to the best of my memory. But I saw a lot of other people cheating. And it just makes you wonder, if people have to cheat to get a piece of paper, then that's not real learning. That's trying to impress somebody, right? People want a piece of paper they think they need that to get a job, or they need that to impress someone else. Well, really, that's why I say ultimately, what it comes down to is what you can do, right? Imagine if there was a doctor who could cure cancer, right? Would you care what their qualifications were? Would you stop going to him if he confessed that he wasn't a real doctor? If he wasn't qualified? Imagine if you were recovering from cancer and your doctor told you, hey, I'm actually not a doctor. it doesn't matter. You're getting better, right? It's the same way. Now that I told you my secret that I'm not a teacher, am I going to lose any subscribers over it? I don't think so. Maybe people will think, you're not a real teacher? I'm out of here. That's it. I'm out of here. I'm gone. Are you still here? And you're still here. Well, thank you. That's proof that you haven't left me, you know, because I'm not a qualified teacher. You're still around, right? So qualifications are just a big... Our society is based on this idea, a false idea, that a piece of paper is equal to your ability to do something. That's not true. You know, I can teach, I love teaching, but I'm not qualified. Some other people might be really good doctors. They're good at healing diseases, or they're good at counseling people, healing people emotionally, and maybe they don't have any qualifications. So, you know, that raises some interesting questions about the nature of school and education. If at the end of the day, your piece of paper is useless, then wouldn't that be nice if you had some real skills, if you had some knowledge that you could offer the world, in real life. Okay, so now let's get back to my plan. What is my plan? Well, if there's no teachers and no tests, what do kids do in school? So here's my plan. It's workshop and community service based. 100% workshops and community service. You know what a workshop is? A workshop is like a short course, usually like a day or a few days or a week, where you learn how to do something. You learn about something. Okay. For example, you might take a workshop on, I don't know, pottery making, where you learn how to make, you know, clay pots or clay, you know, dishes or something like that. Okay. So you take a course for a few days and you learn how to do that. Okay. Now, workshops are really popular. I've been to some workshops in my life, and workshops are great. They're great because it's just a short period of time and you're focused on one thing and you learn it. Okay. So my idea is kids would start going to school at 8 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock in the morning. So 8 to 11 a.m. And then they would break for an hour lunch. And then they would do community service for 2 hours. Okay. That they would do volunteering in the community, like real stuff, like volunteering at an old folks home, right? Do you know what an old folks home is? Actually, I think the word old folks home has sort of fallen out of, I don't think it's very politically correct. I think the more politically correct way is to say a retirement residence or a senior's residence or something like that. Okay, so the kids could volunteer for a couple hours in the afternoon at like I think still a lot of people say old folks home. So I'm just going to say it. Okay, they could volunteer at an old folks home in the afternoon. That would be an example. Okay, but in the morning they would do workshops. Now, who's going to teach the workshops? If there are no teachers, who's going to teach the workshops? That's a great question. Well, the workshops would be taught by real people in society, real people who are successful in their fields and who just want to do it for free, who want to teach for free. Now, you might think, nobody's going to teach for free. Nobody's going to do a workshop for free. Well, I think a lot of people would. A lot of people want to give back to society, especially if it's to help kids, you know, kids benefit in some way. So many people, everybody wants to help kids grow up, right? Kids are the future. We want to help them. And a lot of people would do that. Trust me. Like for me, if a school asked me to come do a few day workshop on how to start a YouTube channel, I'd do it. Of course I'd do it. I'd do it for free, right? I would love to do that. I'd love to have that opportunity, right? And so many people, it's a loud plane flying over my house. Hey, the kids could learn about planes. You know, maybe your grandpa is a retired pilot, right? If a school asked your grandpa to come and give a day or a few day workshop on how to get a job as a pilot or what it's like being a pilot, Do you think your grandpa would say, no, I'm not going to teach those kids? No, your grandpa would love it, right? Elderly people love teaching young kids. If we could bring elderly people and kids together, that would be amazing. You know, if you go to an old folks home in Canada, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a lot of lonely old people who don't have anything to do, but who are really smart, and they have a wealth of life experience under their belt. And they would love interacting with kids if they had a chance. You know, in the community service, the kids could go to the old folks home and volunteer and help them and play games with the, you know, the senior citizens. And for the lectures, a lot of by lectures I mean workshops, a lot of those could be done by senior citizens for free, absolutely free, or other members in society. Like I said, I would be happy to do a workshop on how to start a YouTube channel, and I'm going to make videos in the next few days for you guys on how to start a YouTube channel, you know, free for you guys. That's how I make money on YouTube, so I appreciate you watching this video. Thank you guys so much for helping out my life, supporting my channel, supporting my work, buying my books, always giving me a thumbs up on my video, commenting. I just really appreciate you guys so much. So, you know, I would love to help kids out, you know, how to start a YouTube channel if I was invited by a school, right? So many, if schools opened up, you know, opened up their doors to people in society, successful people, successful businessmen and women. The term businessmen, I don't know, it's just a general word to refer to business people, businessmen and women, okay? Successful business people, what else? Baker, you know, if you own a bakery, hey, you could teach kids how to open a bakery. Or if you are a police officer or a firefighter or a paramedic, you know, you could go to the school and teach the kids how to do first aid, right? Paramedics, police officers, and firefighters all know how to do first aid, you know? So would you rather learn how to do first aid from a boring teacher or from like a real firefighter teaching you how to do first aid or teaching you exercises that they do in the academy, in like the police academy, you know, how they train? Or for example, someone in the army could come in and do like a mini boot camp for you, you know, how to train for the army, what it's like being in the army. You know, one of my classmates in high school joined the Canadian Armed Forces and went to Afghanistan, and he was fighting the Taliban for two or three years. And when he came back, the high school, my old high school, asked him to come and talk to the kids about his experiences. And he did that for free. I wasn't there. I didn't listen to that. I don't know if the kids liked it or not, but I imagine the kids loved it. I think the kids, people love learning from real people who've really done something. I mean, that's the problem with university. If you go to university and study business like I did, most of your teachers have never started a business. They're not speaking from experience. They're speaking from a textbook. And there's just the difference between textbook learning and real learning is just the difference between night and day. It's such a stark difference. And real life learning is so much more enjoyable. You know, we learn a lot through stories. I remember I had one of my professors in university. He had lived in Japan, China, and Korea. Okay, and the class he taught was called Business in Korea, China, and Japan. Okay, that was a class. Doing business in those East Asian countries. And his class was so interesting. All class was just tell stories. He would just tell stories of his life in those countries, doing business in those countries. And I loved it. Everyone loved it because it was like real, authentic knowledge, not out of a book, you know? So people love stories. So imagine if kids went to a workshop and just listened to the stories of, you know, a military veteran who had fought in World War II, you know, on the beaches of France. Imagine that. Would you rather learn about World War II from a boring textbook or from a real person telling you stories. Man, I would love to listen to stories like that. You know, stories of all kinds of stuff. How even simple stuff, like a farmer could tell a story of how he started his farm. You know, what it's like working on a farm. You know, what it's, you know, all the challenges, the successes. You know, we learn so much from other people's lives, from their stories, that I think it would just be a fantastic idea to have real people in society come and do workshops on just the things in their life. It doesn't have to be an official lesson. It can just be a story, you know? Just get a farmer in. You know, farmers are usually pretty busy in the summer, but in the winter, farmers have a lot of time, right? The farmer could take a week off and, you know, give a workshop in a school. How to become a farmer, how to take care of animals, you know, all these things. There could just be so many different like workshops, different kinds of mini courses. Now I want to ask you, if you were invited to a school to give a workshop on something, what would you talk about? What would you want to teach kids? What do you think is the most important thing that you could contribute to kids' lives? You know, if you were to give a week workshop or even just a day workshop, let me know down in the comments, what would you talk about? What do you think you could contribute to those kids? You know, I think this way of learning would be just so powerful because it wouldn't be boring. See, that's the thing. Normal school is just so boring. You learn math, English, and science. Well, you probably don't learn English in your, you know, you might learn your own language, whatever, Chinese or Japanese. You learn math, science, and language, you know, every day of your school life. And it's just the same boring stuff. You've got a year where you're with the same teacher, or at least a semester, right? You're learning for a few months from the same teacher, the same stuff every day. And it's just boring. You know, kids don't have the attention span. I don't have the attention span to sit through a semester of just reading a textbook or, you know, looking at a PowerPoint or something like that. You know, it would be so much more exciting to take like a week workshop on self-defense. Self-defense. Have you ever learned about self-defense? Is that important? I've never learned about self-defense. I would love to take a workshop on self-defense, right? How to defend myself. You know, you could have a workshop on just all kinds of stuff. How to protect yourself from online predators. Is that important? Yeah, that's important. You know, so the scope of the options would just be endless. It would be endless. Let me know what some of your ideas would be down there for like a few day workshop or a week workshop on something. You know, it could be business. It could be taxes. It could be, you know, how to develop your emotional life. How to analyze a relationship. You know, you could look at different relationship issues, personality issues. You could take some personality tests. You could, you know, there's just so many ways you could use this sort of workshop method. Get people, professionals, authors. You know how many authors would love to go to a school and share about the topic in their book? You know, if you've written a book, you want to share that content. That's why you write a book. You know, you've got some experience or some knowledge that you want to share with the world. You know, it'd just be a great opportunity for kids to meet the author, right? So basically just real world stuff. So that's what kids would learn from grade 7 to grade 11. Mini workshops in the morning and then community service in the afternoon. Real world stuff. You know, I'm talking like visiting a prison. Kids could go to a prison, do some volunteering, meet real prisoners, right? You might think, oh no, I wouldn't want my kid to meet some real prisoners. That would be too scary. Well, you know, I'm talking real life. In real life, people go to jail, and kids need to be exposed to some real life things. They can't just live their whole life in a bubble, right? That's what our school system, at least in Canada, is like today. You know, from kindergarten to grade 12, You're sort of in a protected bubble, and you don't experience any of these real-life things. And I think it would be much more interesting. Kids aren't stupid. Kids can handle a lot more than people think they can handle. You know, if I was given the opportunity in high school to go to a prison and meet some prisoners, I would have taken it. That would be great, you know? I bet there are so many good people in prisons who made one mistake in their life and landed in jail for, you know, 5 or 10 years, who would love to tell kids, you know, how to avoid the mistakes they made. You know, maybe it would be possible for some of the inmates in a jail to conduct some of the workshops, you know, under supervision of some police officers, right? So they wouldn't do anything bad. Yeah, the prisoners could talk to the kids about what it was like, how they ended up in their bad lifestyle that led to their life of crime. You know, something like that is powerful. That would be really powerful, you know, for a kid to listen to someone in jail talk about how they can avoid that, you know, to hear someone talk about how bad life is in prison and how much they want kids not to do that. It's like bringing people who are dying of lung cancer, bring some of those people, take them out of the hospital and bring them, you know, to the school to tell kids not to smoke, you know, not to damage their lungs or damage their health, you know. So instead of learning about health from like a boring book, they could get real people in the community, some doctors, some naturopaths, you know, some fitness coaches, some just, I don't know, you know, I'm just thinking out loud here. I'm just sort of, I'm dreaming about all the members in society who would really love to contribute in that way. And it would just pull society together. You know, imagine that, no tests, no teachers, you're learning real life stuff, and school would end at 2 o'clock every day. You have a lot of time to go home, you know, play soccer, do whatever you want. You have time to pursue you could get a job, you could get a part-time job, you know, working somewhere. You could, you know, the opportunities would be endless. And I think that would be so much more beneficial to kids. So anyway, so from grade 7 to 11, they would do that. Now in grade 12, the government would give each student a $10,000 travel grant, right? Just free money to travel, $10,000 or maybe even more to travel around the world. Imagine that. Imagine if the government gave you $10,000 to travel. You know, I would say traveling is one of the most powerful learning tools. You know, I've learned so much. Now, I've done a medium amount of traveling. I've traveled to about 20 or 25 countries in my life, and I've just learned so much. It's been so much more valuable than anything, you know, anything I learned in high school. You know, Shakespeare, trigonometry, how to live in China, how to work in China, how to make friends in, you know, different countries. It's just mind-blowing how much a kid can learn through traveling. So I would say grade 12 would just be travel. A kid could do whatever he wants, you know. I know you can't force people to travel, but then they could use the $10,000 to do anything they wanted to do, maybe start a business. But I would encourage them, if I were like the leader of the education system in Canada, I would encourage kids to use that $10,000 to travel. I would call it the travel grant. Go travel to Europe, go to Africa, do some volunteering in Asia, whatever you want to do. Now, you're probably thinking, who would pay for that? $10,000 for each student? Well, remember, there are no teachers in this school, this period of school. There are normal teachers in elementary school, right, in grades like 1 to 6, but there are no teachers. So all the money you're paying teachers could go to fund this. Now, how much do teachers make in Canada? What is a teacher's salary in Canada? Well, I think it's about $50,000 a year for a beginner teacher. You know, if you're experienced, it's probably more than that. But let's say $50,000, okay? Now, how many teachers are there in a school? Well, in my high school, I think there were about 20 teachers Okay, so let's take 20 teachers times $50,000 a year. That's $1 million a year. But that's just 1 year. Remember, from grade 7 to 11, that's 5 years, right? So if we take $1 million times 5 years, that is $5 million. You know how many students you could give a travel grant of $10,000 to if you had $5 million? I think it's 500 students, okay? 500 students could get a travel grant of $10,000 to go in and travel. Wow! You know, in my high school, there weren't 500 students. There weren't even three. I think there were maybe 200 students in my high school. So that's why I say we could probably give them more. You know, you could probably give students like $20,000. Imagine that, a travel grant of $20,000. You know, and you take, that's your grade 12. Your grade 12 is just traveling. That's it. And then when you come back from traveling, you could work. You know, you could go to university and you could take all of that stuff in university. You know, here's the thing. In my high school math class, I remember my grade 11 and 12 math, that was really hard. Right? Those classes were harder than anything I took in college. You know, I studied business in university. Those math classes were much harder than anything I'd studied in college. So the question is, why would you need to take such advanced stuff in high school? You know, if a person wants to study, you know, let's say, I don't know, engineering, right? They're going to be motivated to learn all of that stuff in their own life anyway. You know, that's the thing. When people are motivated to learn something, it's easy for them. Do you think it was hard for Messi to become, you know, was it hard for him to practice every day, practice his soccer skills? Well, it's probably hard work, right? But I think that was probably easy for him because that's what he loved, right? The same way, if an engineer wants to design a bridge and they haven't studied anything about trigonometry or calculus or anything, do you think that's going to stop them? They're going to learn how to do that. You know, a lot of kids are interested in building, you know, building a house, building huge buildings. They're going to need to do a lot of learning to get to that point where they can design that. High school isn't going to be adequate. High school isn't even going to be a drop in the bucket of what they really need for that kind of work. So they're going to learn all of that on their own initiative anyway. They don't need someone to force them to learn it in high school. You know, I don't know. That's just my idea. You know, these are all just sort of my ideas. Take it or leave it. But man, I'm telling you, I think it could really heal a lot of problems in society. You know, back in Canada, one of the problems is intergenerational. There are no intergenerational bonds. If you go into an old folks home, you see a lot of lonely old people. You know, you see some homeless young people. It's like, how can we bring society together and, you know, and put that in our education system so that real people get real education so that they can tackle real problems in society. So that's what I would do. I would just say enough of all this BS. You know, that's what high school is. It's just a load of BS. You know what BS means? BS means bullshit. I mean, don't tell anyone I told you that secret, what BS means. Okay, high school is a load of BS that nobody, it doesn't help anybody. I knew it at the time when I was in high school. I knew I would never use this in real life. I just had to do it to get into college, you know, in hopes that I would get a good job. It's just, I don't know, the whole system is just sort of based on a lie, you know. Go to school, get good grades so you can get a good job, and then maybe buy a house and, you know, do whatever you want to do in your life, retire, you know, save money till you're 65 and then retire and play golf for the rest of your life. That vision of life just fails people. It's a lie. It's not how people are supposed to live their life. You know, I'm so happy right now that I'm free from that. I'm free from that sort of trajectory in life. It's so much more exciting when you can build something yourself. So that's why I said at the beginning, Imagine if high school students graduated with a business. They had a business, or they had a YouTube channel, or they had more time to sort of develop something useful for their life instead of just getting their brain crammed full of useless facts, useless Shakespeare, useless trigonometry. It just has zero benefit to anybody's life. It has zero benefit to my life. It hasn't benefited any of my classmates. I don't think any of my classmates went on to become engineers or anything. You know, people just want a job. People just want to have enough money to live and do what they want. And right now I have freedom to travel. You know, I have my YouTube channel. So for me, I would way rather have my YouTube channel than a high school diploma or a business degree or a master's degree or a PhD, right? I could swap out the high school diploma for a PhD and ask you the same question. Would you rather have a PhD or a YouTube channel with, let's say, even 10,000 subscribers or 20,000? I would way rather have that than have a piece of paper that might get me a job, you know, somewhere down the line. But then you have to go to the interview. You have to put on a tie and you have to be stressed at the interview, hoping that someone will hire you. You know what I read in a book once? I read that A students end up working for C students and B students end up working for the government. Okay, I'll say that again. A students end up working for C students and B students end up working for the government. I don't know how true that is, but I think it could be true in a lot of cases. People who don't do well in school, they might go off and start their own business. And then when their business gets pretty big, they hire the A students to work for them as like lawyers or, you know, other professionals like that. So I think we just need to rethink how the process of education system actually benefits a person's life. So I don't know, maybe there will be changes in the future. I think some major changes need to happen. I don't have very much confidence in the Canadian education system or probably any education system around the world. So maybe I should start my own education system, the Mark School of Life, the Mark School of Real Life. Okay, maybe I could start a school like that here on YouTube, make a series of videos, Mark's School of Life. Would you like that? Let me know down in the comments if you'd like to attend that school. Hey, I already have 300,000 subscribers. You know, that's probably more than most universities. Do universities have 300? Hey, maybe Mad English TV could be a university. Mark's University of Real Life. Welcome here. You guys are my first students at my university. So thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you once again. You just helped me so much in my life. So I just want to say a big thank you. So anyway, those are just some of my thoughts, you know, on school, how we could make things better. Maybe I'll make more videos in this series, but I just wanted to sort of give you a vision of, you know, what I think school should, what it would be. I think it would be an interesting project anyway, just to see how this would benefit kids and benefit society if some of my ideas sort of work their way into reality. But we'll see what happens. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day wherever in the world you are. I'm here in the beautiful city of Chiang Mai, Thailand, and I'm going to go and enjoy some sunshine here while it's still sunny. So have a great day, and I'll see you guys over in the next episode of Mad English TV. Take care.